This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
He said you left me trying to get more of what you already had. Isn't that the truth about most Christians? We even sing songs about more. More of you, God. More anointing, God. More glory, God. More, he like, I done gave you all you ever need, and you still trying to get more because you cannot trust that I am enough.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere with our state-of-the-art, custom-designed app. The new Creflo Dollar Ministries app gives you unlimited access to numerous features. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages and more. The app puts you right in the sanctuary with live streaming of services. To get connected via the new Creflo Dollar Ministries app, visit creflodollarministries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Ooh, it's time we live a new life. Ooh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Go to John 1. Verse 1 and verse 14. John 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm praying that people meet the real God. I don't want them to die in religion, die playing church, die thinking they are knowing it. And don't even know who God is. Most powerful thing we can do is pray. You know why? Jesus got up and prayed every morning. Now, if Jesus got up, the Bible says the great time before day to pray, how you figure we don't need to do that? Jesus got up to pray before he did anything. I think he got up and had fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I think he got up and got focused in on what was going on. I don't think it's like what we do. I don't think he really got up. I don't think he did all that. I think focus is the key, because I now understand that this is the greatest way for the devil to destroy and attack your vision and your assignment. See, what the devil will do is, God gives you that one vision. What he'll do to try to mess up that vision God gave you is to give you another vision. Division. Two visions. Or three, or four. What are you trying to do? Take your focus away from the one that God gave you. And it's going to require you getting up every day, recalibrating and refocusing on what it is, what you're supposed to do, and who you are, and all that kind of stuff. Other than that, you're going to open yourself up to a whole bunch of tomfoolery, silly stuff, and miss out on who the real God is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All is well. All is well. Oh, my goodness, all is well. If I see some of y'all on the side of the street handling some stuff, I pull over on the side and kind of help you out a little bit. Someone said, "That Pastor Dalton, then what they doing?" We're handling some stuff. Next thing you have a 3 or 4 world change. You don't need but about 2 world changes. But world changes everywhere. I bump into them everywhere I go. That devil trembling right now. A world change, they don't even know where. A world change, I'll jump out the middle of a meat aisle and meet you on a cereal aisle. And before you know it, when you get on the sauce aisle, that person has been delivered, set free, and praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of church I'm talking about. Look at this. He said, in the beginning was the what? Word. Now, the Word was in the beginning.
He said the Word was what? With God. And he said the Word was what? But in the beginning was the what? So however you begin, whatever you begin, make sure you begin with the Word. Why would you begin with the Word? Because the Word is God. I said the Word is God. Don't get spooky and try to do stuff outside the Word. The Word is God. Now look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst them. And we beheld, watch this, his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look what he said. He said, this Word that you began whatever you're going to start with, this Word is eventually going to be manifested. This Word is eventually going to be made flesh. This Word eventually, you're going to be hold the glory of that Word that you've been holding on to. Satan does not want us to get the Word. He does not want us to want to know the Word. He just wants to do spooky stuff and make it look like it's super spiritual. It's the Word. Don't get spooky pooky with people. Don't come up to people acting spooky. Oh, I feel the Lord saying to me, where that at in the Bible? You coming up doing all spooky stuff to me. The Lord wants me to rub my hands all over your face. In this day and time, you better back up, devil. You better rub your own face. The Holy Ghost told me to come up and hug you. You better back up. You better get some information. You ain't got to get deep like that. Ain't nowhere in the Bible that said you have to hug somebody when you come to church, or it said that you have to hug somebody when you see them in public somewhere. I see people in public all the time. And this was before the pandemic. I ain't go hugging everybody I saw. I don't know where they been or where they coming from. You got to be careful not to invent these religious. Yeah. And then try to use it to convict other people to doing something that you won't done in the name of some kind of fable you came up with and then assigned the scripture to it. Stop! You can't walk in this deep spiritual walk I'm talking about playing games. Oh, the Holy Ghost is on me. And then you go slap somebody. Ain't nothing happened. They've been hurt in that area where you slapped them for the last 5 years. No burden was removed. No yoke was destroyed. And you was a devil. Just showed up slapping people with a fable. God wants us to have fellowship with him, enjoy life, and enjoy one another. That's what he's not trying to get you to be deep 24/7. Hey, how you doing? I'm in the presence right now. Hold on. Well, God, no. God wants you to enjoy life. That's why he wants you to know him, so he can show you how to enjoy life and so he can show you how to enjoy one another. But the church has put so many fables in it that not even Jesus understand when he come to some churches. What they doing? Oh, the Lord said that. He said, I ain't say that. I ain't never said that. Because they don't know about him and they don't know him. But you know him. What did I say? For you were with him, and he shall be in you. And you know him. And we got to help each other out. Quit sitting there and just tolerating all them fables and all that junky stuff people doing. And stay out of church gossip. What's happening somewhere else at the church? That ain't none of your business. That's why you became a member. It ain't none of your business. Who doing what? How doing what? Who got in trouble? Who wasn't? It ain't none of your business. Your job is when you hear something, Lord, I thank you. I send the presence that way right now, Lord. Take care of me. Y'all better stop. Jesus coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming sooner than you think, sooner than I think. Watch what get ready to happen. You're talking about people running to God. But we're going to be ready. I want them to run. I ain't sitting back talking about what you're running for God now. Be burned in the name of Jesus. See, that ain't even God. That ain't God. God ain't saying no be burned in the name of Jesus. To hell with all y'all in the name of Jesus. How you like me now? Because the key proof of whether or not you carry God is how you treat people. That's the key. Can we see the love of God operating in your life upon somebody else's life? That's the key. That's the key. Oh, I sense His presence. Oh, something good is going to happen to you. Amen. All right, now, I know I have my glasses up here. All right. Now watch this. Now, think about this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That same Word. Do you know when you open the Bible and study it, you're right there in the presence? You ever done that? Come home tired and just sat down and got in the Word for a minute, and all of a sudden everything started changing. Notice the first thing that came when you got in the Word, peace. And if you stay with it, grace will be multiplied. You get in the presence of the Word. You get in the presence of the Word. When you open that written Word up, you're in the presence of the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And notice what it said. This Word will display its glory. You'll see the glory. You know what it means when you see the glory? See, we've gotten so fabulized with that. Ooh, the glory. Well, what does that mean? It's manifestation. It's manifested Word. When you're walking in the presence of God and learning how to live and abide in the presence of God, you're going to see manifested Word. Some of it you asked for, some of it you didn't ask for. Some of it God did it just to do it. He wants to share His glory with us. He wants to share His glory with us. What has taken some, like I said before, 20 years to do something, those of us who will learn how to walk in the manifestation of the presence of God will also walk in the manifestations of His glory. It'll be manifested. And sometimes people ask you, whoa, how did you get that to happen? Man, I just been enjoying Jesus. I'll be honest with you. I just been enjoying Jesus and stuff been happening. But now what happens? So now they going to want to enjoy Jesus like you enjoy Jesus, and their motivation is so stuff can happen. That's not your motivation. You're not enjoying Jesus to get stuff to happen. You're enjoying Jesus because you enjoy Jesus. And your motivation is Jesus. But a lot of people, they have the wrong motivation. They see what happened to somebody else. You remember the story about the sons of Sceva, the seven sons of Sceva, I believe? They came up, they was professional exorcists, and these people were demon-possessed. And they decided they're going to come in, they're going to get paid, and they came in, they said to the people who were possessed with demons, they said, we command you, we adjure you, and command you to come out by Paul and the Jesus that Paul knew. Them demons stopped like, They said, wait a minute, Paul we know. And all demons said, oh yeah, we know Paul. Then they said, Jesus we know. They said, oh yeah, I do. But then they looked at them and they said, well, but who are you? Now, the worst thing that can happen to you is you're in the middle of casting the devil out, and the devil stops and they say, who are you? And And I believe the Bible says that those demons stripped them, the professional experts, stripped their clothes off of them and ran them out. You know, that's got to be sad. They're coming up there trying to cast the devil out, and the devil done cast them out. That's not, what happened? Their motivation was the professionalism that they could turn this into a profession and get the results of a Paul and a Jesus. Don't let something or somebody spoil and pervert your motive. Always ask yourself, why do you do what you do? Why are you here today? Why do you want the presence of God in your life? Is the sum total of it is to fulfill your definition of success, and his definition of success is so much greater than yours. No. When you start experiencing Christ, none of that matters. And yet, all of it matters to God. It's like it's like I ain't seeking nothing but you. And you know what God's saying? And I ain't seeking nobody but you. I want you. I want you. I want to bless you. I want to touch you. I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. I want your dreams to be manifested. I want you to be happy. I mean, think about, that's the God. You up here trying to make him do all of that, and he want to do all that already. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all thy ways. What does that mean? Put in first place, and he'll direct your path. He says, I know directions to everything you ever wanted in life. Can you please put yourself aside and let me be your God? That's what this is about. This isn't about playing church. I used to wonder, if I preach like this, everybody gonna leave the church and we're gonna have a bunch of empty seats. I ain't gotta wonder no more, because I spent a year and a half preaching the empty seats. I ain't scared of no empty seats no more. I ain't scared up no more. If you sitting up here this morning, God bless your souls. But it don't scare me. Why? None of that's my motivation. I ain't counting seats. That ain't my motivation. I ain't counting. That ain't my motivation. My motivation is I got a certain amount of time left. And I got to fulfill that time by doing exactly what God tell me to do and what God tell me to preach to you, so we can be carriers of his flame and his fire, so people can see God through us. That if they want to know Jesus, they ought to be able to look at some of us and say, that's what he looked like right there. That's what he looked right there. That's what he looked right there. He looked like that right now. You boy around like that. No, he don't look like that at all. What's your name? Who is you? All right, let me move on. Let me move on. I wrote this down, and I was like, wow, the consequences of not knowing God. So what happens when you don't know? What happens when you don't have any knowledge about God? And what happens, you know, no knowledge about God means you don't know him. I mean, think about that. You know, you're interested in marrying somebody and there's no knowledge about them, number one, and you don't really know them because you don't have knowledge about them and you've not walked into an intimate knowledge or knowing of them. What happens with Christians every day? Christians who are at home today, Christians who are here today, and they don't know God right. Listen to this. Your impression of who God is will determine how you receive from God. So if you think God's a judge, that's going to determine how you receive from God. If you think God's a murderer, that's going to determine how you receive from God. If you think God is the one that says, you know, I got to make you suffer real hard before I can give you this blessing, that's how you're going to receive from God. If you think God is the God that sends fire down from heaven and just burns people up, no matter what the situation is, that's how you're going to receive from God. The question this morning is, what is your impression of who God is? Because if you have a wrong impression of who God is, that's how you're going to receive from Him. And you know, it's, a lot of that starts with this. If you're in a wrong church, listening to a wrong preacher who don't know nothing about God and don't know God and proceeds to preach a sermon about God and then gives you the wrong impression, and you're there because your mama went there and her mama went there, then all y'all going to have this wrong impression of God, which you proceed to pass down to other people and spread that same fable everywhere and call it the church. Incorrect concepts about God will determine why your life is going in the direction that it is going in. An incorrect concept. A guy that you listen to because, I mean, that guy, he can pull it, boy. He can do this and he can do that. Why are we paying so much attention to the man and the image? It can't be about the man and the image. It's got to be about God, because He's trying to make you into His image. And we keep making about a man or a woman. We keep making about a church. We keep making about all this other stuff. We go to the internet. Oh, look at this and look at that. And you don't understand. The farther and farther away you get from God's word, the farther and farther away you get from Him, the closer you get to wrong impressions. And you can't even walk with God. And professing to be wise, you've become a fool. Now, if you're a member of this church, we ain't gonna let that happen. Grace and peace is multiplied through what? The knowledge and the knowing of God. So some people try to get grace and peace to be multiplied through prayer. Grace and peace is not going to be multiplied through prayer. Cause God didn't say that, did He? He said grace and peace multiplied through the knowing and the knowledge of God. Why is it that we're always substituting something for God? Why is Jesus never enough? Why is Jesus never enough? Why must we always add to Jesus? He's never enough. I told you last week what he said to me. I said, Lord, I remember these things you're showing me. He said, you had all you need when you had me. When those lame people walked and when those miracles took place in those meetings and when that stadium was packed out, what did you have to do with it? He said, you already had everything you need in me. I said, Lord, what happened? He said, you left me trying to get more of what you already had. Isn't that the truth about most Christians? We even sing songs about more. More of you, God. More anointing, God. More glory, God. More, He, like, I done gave you all you ever need, and you still trying to get more because you cannot trust that I am enough. Today you have a pastor that absolutely trusts that he's enough. I got all I ever need. I don't need to pray for none else. As long as I have him, as long as I bring him wherever I'm going, everything gonna be taken care of. I don't need to go into a 5-hour prayer, and I don't need to go into a 2-week fast. All I need to know is to make sure I carry his flame, carry his fire, carry his presence, and he'll make sure that I am sufficient in everything that I need. If I go to a board meeting, praise God, I just make sure I invite him into my heart and walk up in that board meeting with him. Are you listening to me? Wrong knowledge produces wrong results. Faith is based on knowledge, and wrong knowledge will produce wrong faith. And if you have a need for healing, if you have a need for prosperity, etc., you have a need of understanding who He is. If we knew the nature and the character of God, then unbelief and worrying and fear would not be a factor in our life. If you knew how faithful, how loving, how caring God is, you wouldn't worry about that stuff. Did you know that if a person really knew God and understood God as the wonderful Father he is, there would be no trouble believing him and believing his word? So having faith in other people means developing a relationship with them, right? To the point where you know them so well, you just completely trust them.
Is something missing in your life, even though everything is technically okay? Is something off, even though your job and home lives are thriving? Through this three-message series, How to Live in the Presence of God, Creflo Dollar explains how purposely living in the presence of God transforms us into our best self in every aspect of life.
There's an intimate knowing of God, and it goes beyond a sermon, a song, a dance, and a shout. When you're walking in the presence of God and learning how to live and abide in the presence of God, you're going to see manifested word. Some of it you asked for, some of it you didn't ask for. You will never be in need as long as you carry his presence.
Call the number on your screen or visit the e-store at www.creflodollarministries.org to get your copy for a love gift of $20 or more, plus shipping and handling. Get your copy today and learn to live life fully.
Download and stay connected with the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. Keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind with these powerful and uplifting messages.
Think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives inside and out.
With each message that you download and stream, you gain revelation of the fullness of God's grace.
I'm talking about the grace of God that comes over your life, that makes living easy, that makes living sweatless, that the anointing begins to come up on you and there's not a fight, there's not a struggle.
The Changing Your World podcast brings you life-changing wisdom right at your fingertips, no matter where you are. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
I think you would be amazed at what Creflo Dollar Ministry does every day around the world. Testimonies come in from all over about the impact we have. And I wish you could see the kids we feed. Their lives are changed and impacted for the better because of you, our givers. The seeds you sow into this ministry make a mark that can never be erased. And I want to thank you so much for your financial contributions into the kingdom of God and into this ministry.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflodollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.
The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.